is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. Later in the program, we'll talk about local groups working in Uganda to use solar energy to power dozens of schools. But first, parking in Cincinnati. It's often a topic of discussion, especially lately as rates increase in 28 neighborhoods starting next month. The money is being used to help balance the city budget. Joining me to sort through it all are Cincinnati Inquirer City Hall reporter Sharon Coolidge, Over the Rhine Community Council President Maurice Wagner, and WCPO Transportation and Development reporter Pat LaFleur. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, emailing talk at WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
We're certainly glad to have everybody here. Let's start out talking about what happens August 1st and what the changes are. And Sharon, why don't you start us out?
Well, we just passed a city budget at the end of June. And as part of that, they're raising parking meter rates to bring in $2.5 million. And so we're going to see a lot of changes in the neighborhoods downtown over the Rhine to all of the rates. So August 1st is the day.
Pat, can you explain what some of those changes are?
Well, we're looking at things like anywhere from a quarter increase to 50-cent increase. It really depends on the neighborhood and the time of day. Some increases will be in effect for certain hours. Other increases will taper off after, say, 5 p.m. or 9 p.m. So it really is a pretty wide variance as far as what the specific changes are and where.
So I think the biggest shocks, though, that I think people will be surprised about, because I think if you think, oh, parking rates are going up, it's going to cost more to park downtown and over the Rhine, too. But, I mean, rates are going up in 28 neighborhoods, and those meters in four neighborhoods are going to run longer until 9 o'clock. And in over the Rhine, we're going to see meters run until 11. And that is going to be a huge change from what people are used to. It's not more money. It's different times. And they're going to start running at 8 in the morning. So people are going to have to really pay attention.
When you say run, they're just going to be in effect for longer hours.
Yes.
So you used to, at 9 at night, park for free in some of these places, even though the meter was there.
Correct.
And that's not the case anymore.
Yes.
So as the president of the Over Rhine Community Council, what do you think about that?
Well, we have some issues down in Over the Rhine concerning that. A lot of residents are concerned about it, and some business owners are concerned about it also. And we tried to have input with the city and let them know that we got a parking plan that we want to try to implement and have some say on it. And it's been very difficult trying to reach out to them to look at our point of view on how the parking meters are going to affect the residents in Over the Rhine.
Tell us what happens. I mean, is it difficult to find a place to park?
It's very difficult. It's very challenging also. I saw one of the employees from Zula Restaurant yesterday, parking up by Elm Street Clinic on Elm and Odeon. And the restaurant is on 14th and Ray Street. And that's maybe two or three blocks away from where he works at. And it's in a residential area where he parked at. So the employees are not parking at the meters or the garages, but they are taking up residential spaces where residents live at and need that parking when they get back home.
Well, let's talk about the whole idea of residential permits. Where does that stand right now, Pat?
I think it's in limbo right now. As far as the OTR residential parking plan is concerned, I think the most recent we've heard about it was from the acting city manager, Patrick Duhaney, saying that it hasn't been finalized yet. And Maurice could probably speak to the amount of engagement that the OTR city or community council has gotten from the city. But right now there isn't a plan currently in place, but the community has been waiting for quite some time for this.
This has been one of the hardest things in City Hall since I started covering it 5 years ago. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's been two iterations of a plan that came for a vote, had the majority of council, but not like a veto proof. And we saw the mayor veto both of those. After the second veto, there was a promise that they would come back. They would come back with like a third iteration of the plan. That never really happened. And as we were talking about raising the meter rates, the director of development, you know, would say in passing, oh, you know, there's a plan in the works. We have something. We'll be bringing it to you. And, you know, I'm sure Pat, like myself, has just been asking for it. This is a huge issue in our urban core, and I have wanted to see it. And this, the answer is there isn't a plan. We don't have one. And some details of it did leak out yesterday. They're talking about it being possibly $150 a year, which sounds cheap when you're talking about it, but compared to other residential parking districts in the city, it is much more expensive.
I do want to go to a call we got from Peter, and this we got some calls in advance of the program. Peter had some thoughts about the price of residential parking permits.
My name is Peter, and I live in Over the Rhine. I know that Cincinnati has image issues, but being at the top of the price of residential permit parking permits is not the way to address those image issues. How does the city justify an outrageous $150 cost?
And are they justifying it? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, since they're not admitting to actually having a plan, they're not justifying that cost, or even if that's actually going to be the final cost.
What does it cost in other neighborhoods? Do you know?
It's around $30.
$30.
And so this is significantly higher.
And we're talking, there's one in Pendleton, adjacent to Over the Rhine, that's $30.
And they're $30 in most neighborhoods. And for us, we got a two-tier parking plan permit. $150 for normal residents, so to speak, and then $30 for low-income residents. And we don't think that that's fair either, because all the other neighborhoods and communities got a $30 parking plan permit, residential, and they putting a two-tier on us with a cap, a $500 permit cap.
And so that they will only issue 500 permits, is that what you're saying?
Correct.
And how many people, I mean, more and more people are living in Over the Rhine now. Isn't that true? Because there's more residential properties going in.
That's correct. Yes.
Sherry?
I forget what I was going to say.
Okay. But well, so we were talking about the cost of all of this and the permits, and you're sort of waiting to find out. Is there going to be any more hearings about this? How is council likely to act? Are they just going to say, hey, this is it?
Well, everything does have to go through a committee for a vote. And so that gives the public a chance to speak. And I think there's going to be intense media coverage when this first, you know, starts coming up. So we'll see that plan come through, and there will be an opportunity to have public comment.
Yeah, and from what I've gathered, just in kind of rumblings, is that this residential parking plan will likely be tied to the overlay district that was kind of, for lack of a better term, announced on Tuesday with a postcard to residents in the area suggesting that the requirements for new developments to provide parking in the neighborhood could be going away.
So where does it stand right now? When new business comes in, along with their business, they have to provide parking places?
That's right. I'm not sure on the specifics.
I've asked the city a couple times. They are providing a background. Or I don't think the city wasn't prepared to talk about this issue, despite the fact that they sent out postcards to residents. There was like a big stir yesterday, 2 days ago, when that postcard came with no one really understood what it was. And you're just calling your neighbors and they're like, they're going to do what to our parking? Because everyone is just thinking, oh, residential parking is the issue we're talking about. But what is this? And so things bubbled up that way. The city, I know, is providing a backgrounder. The closest I've gotten is at the moment, possibly for every unit you develop, you need two parking spots. And that's just in a dense area. That's not best practices. You have to really kind of look at the project and what's around it. And so they're talking about lifting that kind of regulation, meaning they don't have to build any parking, which really did put a scare into many residents who are like, we already can't park. If they don't build enough spaces, then what?
And Maurice, did you get one of those postcards?
Yes, I did get one of those postcards. And it's an overlay of the parking plan for Over the Rhine and to make it a more walkable community. And one of the issues with that is that when the people come to visit our community, and they're not going to walk to our community, they're going to drive to our community and get on the streetcar and travel through the streetcar and everything. But they got to find parking in our neighborhood when they come to visit. And I'm trying to understand what this parking overlay parking plan is about, and to make this a more walkable community. It sounds good for the residents that live in the community, but with all the visitors coming into the neighborhood and the soccer stadium coming in the West End, I mean, we're going to be bamboozled with trying to find parking in our own community.
Our phone number, if you have a question or a comment, is 513-419-7100. Jimmy is on the phone. Hi, Jimmy. What's your question?
Yes. How are you doing this afternoon, young lady?
Just fine. What's up?
Hey, well, here's my question. I'll make a comment, too. for one thing, with the bus fare going up, Metro claiming they're not making any money. And I always understood now that's a federal, Metro is a federal enterprise now, the federal government. That's why I don't see them advertising on the buses. That's why you don't see them hustling potato chips and cigars and cigarettes advertising on the bus. Now, with that said, how can the people of the city profit or benefit or make it lighter when bus fare going up, parking meters going up? It's like a domino effect going hit the community.
Pat, what do you let me have Pat respond here. What do you think about that?
Sure. So I'll tackle the Metro issue first. So Metro funding is just a real mess in pretty much any way you look at it. The funding model was established in the mid to late 1970s. It hasn't been changed since. The biggest contributor to Metro funding right now is the city earnings tax. It's about 0.3% of the earnings tax goes toward Metro bus service specifically. That has proven over the last couple decades to not really be enough anymore. And I think everyone agrees about that. So when it comes to Metro raising fares, Metro is in kind of a bind right now. They don't really have many other options unless they can find some way to increase ridership or find some other permanent source of funding, like maybe a new sales tax is what is being discussed right now, among other things, including raising rates. Jimmy's absolutely right that raising parking fare as well as raising bus fare at the same time does put especially low-income commuters and low-income residents in the urban core in a real tough bind. And I'm not sure that the solution has been found for that yet.
You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, emailing talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we have gotten some emails. Steve wrote in and said the original concept on parking meters was to enhance turnover on the street and in front of business establishments. He says it seems to have evolved in Cincinnati to be the alternative to seeking a tax increase and a method of subsidizing the streetcar operation. Increasing taxes is something that is not easy to do and shouldn't be, since it's the mark of Cain on any elected official. Simply put, it's the easy way out to increase parking meter fees rather than raise taxes. And your reaction, as you both have covered this, maybe Sherry, you can start. Is that the way you see it? Is strictly a way of a tax increase and not a method of regulating cars around businesses?
I mean, they have made no bones about it. They need revenue. There was a $32 million deficit. They raised 7 fees and taxes. Parking is one of them. They didn't pretend otherwise. They're like, the money has to come from somewhere. And to be fair, they did make $10 million in cuts for part of that to cover that deficit. But it is not considered best practices. Donald Shoup, he's like the foremost parking expert in the city, talked to the Inquirer last year about the very same issue when they raised rates. This is the third rate increase in 3 years. And he just said the idea is for turnover in front of businesses. No matter where you go in your city, you should be able to pull up and there should be one spot for you. And then the next person, that's how it works. There's not supposed to be empty spaces. They're not supposed to be no spaces.
Now, the Steve also mentioned that it subsidizes the streetcar operation. Is that the case?
There is some parking meter revenue that goes toward the streetcar funding, but can't remember off the top of my head what share of the streetcars operating fund comes from parking meter revenue.
I don't know that number off the top of my head.
There is some.
It's some.
And over the Rhine, like the neighborhood meters don't supplement the streetcar.
We did get an email from Allison who says she lives in the suburbs and higher parking rates will cut down on her trips to downtown. We also got a call earlier, and this one is from Rob, and he had some thoughts about what expensive downtown parking will mean for the suburbs. Rob.
My name's Rob Porter. My opinion on parking fare increases is that, especially in the downtown area, it has already increased substantially. And it does impact my choice of where to travel to, where to spend my dollars. Many times, it's easier to go to one of the outlying suburbs and not have to mess with paying the meter or paying $2 an hour to park, rather than deal with that. So I think it raising parking meters hurts the local businesses, especially downtown businesses or areas with the higher meter rate.
So do you think it does drive people to the suburbs?
Yes.
Maurice, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's okay.
They promote Over the Rhine heavily to come down and enjoy Over the Rhine. And there's so much to do down in Over the Rhine. And people get lost in everything that's happening down there to where they can't be mindful of these parking meters and the time that they have left on the parking meter. The kiosks are so far away from the car that you parked that you have to catch up with the kiosk if you don't have a mobile app on your phone or anything. And that takes away from the enjoyment of being in down and over the Rhine, you know, and let alone being inside of the theater or the music hall or any of those events and being mindful of a parking meter. The parking patrol are busy throughout Over the Rhine all day, every day, writing tickets. And people are constantly getting tickets, particularly residents.
When, so it is heavily enforced then. It's not like the meters are there and you can sneak in an extra 5-10 minutes?
No, they don't even have a free 10-minute parking anymore. They took that away. So you can't sneak in anything free anymore.
Don't let your meter go for more than a minute.
Yeah.
Because they have all kind of like analytics and metrics that they can see.
Well, we had Marvin that called in, and he wants to know if the cost to run the meters is, how does that compare to the income that's derived from the meters? And do they make enough money on the meters to pay for all the people that have to enforce it?
That's a really good question that I haven't dug into.
I forget the actual number, but most definitely. I mean, I assume that they're going to have to
pay more
for the enforcement for the extra hours. But it's so minimal compared to what they're collecting. Well, I remember that.
And with a ticket cost, how much? Is it $50? $60?
$50.
It's been too long since I've driven and parked in Over the Rhine.
I've gotten one once. It's been a number of years ago.
I've seen one this morning for $50.
$50.
Honestly, certainly. I mean, Pat rides his bike all over downtown, and I ride Red Bike when I'm not really in high heels because it's easier to park your bike than to find a parking spot and deal with the meters. Really, from even a time standpoint, and less about not just money. It's like you have to like find the spot, then where's the meter, stop to put it in when you can just, you know, hitch your bike up and.
Well, and something that Maurice got to a minute ago was, and something we haven't dug into too much yet, is that, you know, parking meter increases some people view as a way to encourage walkability in the neighborhood and maybe encourage people to park a little farther away from their destination and then walk the streetscape and experience the neighborhood in that way. But that also doesn't necessarily address the concerns of the residents who need to find a place to park the car that they use to get out of the neighborhood to go to work or school or what have you.
Or to carry their groceries so they're not parking six blocks away.
And by the time they get back, they got to circle the block 3 or 4 times to find a parking spot 2 or 3 blocks away because the one that was in front of their house is no longer there anymore.
Diana's on the phone. Hi, Diana. What's your question?
Yes, thank you very much. I'm very concerned about the raises in parking for the meters, and the garages have gone up to $8 to $10 to $15. And you are excluding the elder population who is on a fixed income who cannot walk long distances from a parking place. And can't afford to go downtown anymore. And that's crazy. You're making it only for wealthy people and for people who live downtown.
Thank you so much for your comments. We appreciate it.
This is all something. You know, I will say our parking director, Dan Fortenberry, and I, one thing too about this is there was plenty of time for public comment on this, although I don't think anything's a surprise. They already knew that it was going to be super unpopular. But they did give, you know, citizens a chance to weigh in, and they still did it anyway. But, you know, you have to take everything into account. So Dan Fortenberry has, like, all these degrees. There's, like, I mean, he is a parking expert. He came to the city, like, 2 years ago, I think. And I know that behind the scenes he is, you know, really working to try and get the best, you know, out of our system, but it seems like an impossible task.
Well, it's an inherent problem when you are dealing with a dense urban neighborhood that is both highly residential and highly commercial. And it's in all my years covering this particular issue, I've not seen a magic bullet for this. It's it's always going to be a push back and forth between residents in a neighborhood and the administration or other officials in charge of making sure that it's viable in terms of bringing in new business and new development. And I think that's the tension. I'm sure, Maurice, you see that every day.
Yeah, and that's true. So it has us thinking in community council whether our neighborhood is turning into an entertainment district rather than a residential community. I know we were voted one of the most popular neighborhoods in the country a year ago, and that has brought a lot of people here also. So is our neighborhood transforming, you know, with the DCI downtown business, you know, business district coming into Over the Rhine, south of Liberty, and all of that is intermingling with each other, you know.
The other thing we do need to remember about parking, this is a very new issue for this city. For years, that just was not a concern. All the meters were broken. They didn't work. Like, you could find free spaces everywhere.
You didn't have to pay after six.
Yeah, that was like, and it was just not something the city ever paid attention to. And we're kind of used to that still. I mean, the first real changes came in 2015. The credit card machines, that's still new to people. The app
that you can
pay on.
I should say we did get an email from David who says that he has nothing but trouble with the credit card machines and thinks they're difficult to use.
These are very, in you know, the city's history, new technology. If you're not using it every day, it is still new to you. So, I mean,
absolutely,
brand new issue here.
And for those that's having difficulty with those, we have people down there that kind of help out visitors on how to direct them to use those credit card machines.
I help people with parking when I'm paying for my own parking if they have questions, and just for the streetcar too.
We're out of time. It's hard to believe it. There's so much more to say. We're going to have you all back. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking about parking in Cincinnati. My guests today were Cincinnati Enquirer City Hall reporter Sharon Coolidge, Over the Rhine Community Council President Maurice Wagoner, and WCPO Transportation and Development reporter Pat LaFleur.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.